This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Prepare to double down. The CDC announced this week that wearing two masks or wearing a tight-fitting surgical mask is highly effective at preventing the spread of COVID-19. Wearing a mask as an effective tool against the spread of disease has become so common. It's funny to think that it's a social norm that did not exist in the United States just 1 year ago. That got us thinking about the history of masks for medical purposes. We happen to know a guy. Dr. Howard Markel is a professor and director of the Center for the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan, and he joins us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, April. I'm so glad to be a guy, your guy. I've never been a guy before, so I'm really, that's delightful.
I got a guy for my furnace, I got a guy for my car, and a guy for my epidemiology. I think one of the first things that springs to mind is those long, beaky, goggled leather masks from the plague era of medieval Europe in the 1600s. Do you know, is that the first time we really saw face coverings used by medical professionals or healers?
Well, they were used in different ways. That's the most famous, those 1650s pictures of the plague doctors. But from Hippocrates well into the 19th century, people thought these epidemics like bubonic plague or cholera or whatever emerged from the local conditions, that the miasma, the pollution given off by rotting sewage and organic garbage and things like that, made Ann Arbor a potentially sick zone, but not Ypsilanti. And that's why to this day, local and state rights are baked into the Constitution when it comes to public health issues.
Wow.
People have been wearing masks in some form or, quote, avoiding the unclean since at least Leviticus in the Old Testament. Okay.
Wow.
And you'll see people like washing their hands or going to the bathroom far away from somebody or, you know, and what changes from, you know, 400 BC to say 1900 is that we no longer think infectious diseases is caused by a pollution of the atmosphere, but by a specific microbe. And that would require a very specific public health plan because every microbe infects and travels differently and spreads differently.
Do you know if those plague era masks served any function other than to just alert people that a plague doctor was in the vicinity?
They might have if there was the bubonic plague form of, if the pneumonic plague of bubonic plague was raging. That is a form where the microbe doesn't just infect the lymph nodes, that's the buboes, these giant softball, hard, painful lumps, but they get into the lungs somehow, and then you can infect people casually, as you could with COVID by, you know, respiratory droplets. So technically, if you're wearing like a big beak mask and you're exposing people, it might cover some. It, you know, it's how many layers of Swiss cheese basically are you putting over your nose and mouth? And that comes to why the CDC things are so interesting. Look at how badly people wear masks in the grocery store or wherever you go. Their noses are sticking out. Their mouths are on the side. I saw a guy smoking a cigarette through one. And so we don't have good mask hygiene. And that's why the more layers you put on, it makes common sense, the more likely you are to prevent contact with this stealthy infectious disease.
When did we start to see more systemic use of masks to prevent the spread of particles as an actual medical intervention?
Yeah. Well, as a social thing, this is kind of now. It's a 21st century phenomenon. But it came about in the era of first antiseptic surgery and then aseptic. So you may remember, before the 1850s, surgeons didn't even wash their hands. They wore bloodied frock coats, and they operated as quickly as they could because there wasn't even anesthesia. This is before 1845. As they advanced, they learned that if they washed their hands intensively with things like carbolic acid and their instruments and so on, they killed the germs and patients did better. But then they found out around the turn of the last century that if you did something called aseptic surgery, that you don't have any germs in the operating theater at all, that produced the best results for post-operative recovery. So that's why rubber gloves were developed and masks were developed. But masks were originally made, like if you look at a mask from 1910, if one even exists, it's made out of several layers, like 4 to 6 layers of gauze. So, you know, gauze isn't exactly the most, you know, stealthy or industrial strong kind of barrier. And they were really kind of an icon of the surgeon, okay? But they were rarely brought out. They were brought out in some cities in the 1918-1919 flu pandemic, particularly Western cities like San Francisco, which actually had a law where you're
right.
based. And they had thousands of scoff laws who met and said, we don't want to. And they all had to pay fines and things like that. And, you know, we've had other, you know, look, you can't find a series of public health edicts during a particular crisis that somebody in the population doesn't find very offensive to their way of life. And this is just how it's playing out now.
What kinds of, I mean, before we had the kind of medical grade masks that we do right now, what were some of the common things that people would use to make masks in past pandemics?
Oh, you know, it's funny because they would make them even into fashion things. So there were ads in 1918 for chiffon masks for, you know, females, you know, and you'd look kind of like you were in the Alibaba in the 70s because you had this.
Oh, like a Dance of the Seven Veils kind of mask. I got
you. Yeah. And they had other kinds of masks for men. They didn't have things like, you know, statements on them. I don't recall that, but they had all different kinds of material. And don't forget, so the 1918-1919 pandemic where face masks were suggested, they weren't enforced in most places, but most masks were made by American Red Cross chapters, and they were basically 4 to 6 layers of gauze. But people are creative, you know, which is kind of neat. I mean, I remember the New York Times a few months ago had a full page like a pattern how to make a mask. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool.
I'm still waiting for my chiffon mask that I can wear over my surgical
one. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal and it helps a lot. So why wouldn't you do it? You know, the great thing about living in the 21st century as opposed to the 14th century is we have all this knowledge and techniques and treatments and even preventions for this terrible infectious disease. So I think we need to avail ourselves with the science, with professionals, and move along accordingly. We still all have to play safe social distancing measures for now until the immunization process unrolls.
Howard, I remember seeing pictures from different countries in Asia, like Hong Kong, and I think China in the 90s, of people wearing masks in public in airports or shopping centers or markets. And I remember thinking, oh, how paranoid. Well, who's laughing now? Why is it that some Asian countries were such early adopters way before COVID?
Well, they often, in Southeast Asia, was often the origin site for many infectious diseases, particularly influenza, as well as SARS and a few other things. So there's a lot of people who are really close together, particularly on public transportation and so on. But they really have adopted it. There's no question that many Asian nations, China in particular, were early adopters of this, and they remain very true to that methodology.
Do you think that there will be a more general societal acceptance eventually to masks in Western countries during cold and flu season, just as a matter of course?
Well, I think it depends on the flu, and we may have corona seasons, by the way. We may have to take annual coronavirus. Well, I don't know. It's a good question. I think that's the polite thing to do, but particularly if it's not lethal and, you know, you just miss a couple of days of work. You know, don't forget, we're doing all these things today that some people object to, including face masks, because, you know, we're in the middle of a war. We're fighting a pandemic, the pandemic of our lives. So this is what we're focusing on now. But you may see in the future, a year from now or two, that different people in Ann Arbor or where have you wear masks during the winter months.
Dr. Howard Markel, professor of the history of medicine at the University of Michigan. Howard, thank you.
Thank you. So this is how your guy is going out, where, you know, there's a place you can buy your mask. And I know it.
He's my guy.
I'm the guy. Yeah. Just send the $5.
Thanks, Howard.